League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
You are watching and listening to Game Time Decisions. I am Gable Morenci, and I'm on the grid. And we're also on the loudest station in the nation, SB Nation Radio's. The countdown to the National Football League draft is on. We're officially on the clock now, just a couple of hours away. We're going to lock in our best bets for you that we've been breaking down for the last couple of weeks. The name of the show is Game Time Decisions. But in these crazy times that we're living in right now, it's been draft time. Decisions with the National Football League draft. Let's do it. The Raging Redhead Cam Storrs ready to fire away. He's got a full pistol full of best bets. Wild West. Bang, bam, boom, boom.
It's an Uzi, Gabe. I got a lot of cartridges here. Just, yeah, pumping out the bets. And that's just, hey, those are just some of them. You know, when this draft goes on, if we see dominoes fall, and our, you know, you get the hamster on the wheel, we'll be betting in-game during this thing, too, or in-draft, I have a feeling.
Tony Pauline will step up and in profootballnetworks.com. Tony Pauline will get his mock draft playbook. Mark Lawrence returns.
Hey, nice.
Mark Lawrence, very busy man this time of the year, doing a lot of hits right now. Playbook.com, one of the Bibles for bettors out there. And Mark's been very accurate over the years. One thing with Mark is he watches college football a lot. Like Mark watches every team, every game, every conference. So he's on top of the players, and he's a pretty avid follower of the media too. Playbook have a pretty big team. I think there's about 12, 16 of them over there that are scouring through everything. So I look forward to Mark Lawrence's mock draft as well. Me and Cam, not really a mock draft. We're going to go through the top 10 picks because after 10 sort of gets into best available player. And quite frankly, we don't have enough time. all 32, but we will go through we'll go through everything.
Yeah.
We're going to blast through everything, but we'll just sort of make some predictions, at the top end of this National Football League draft. So even though the draft is hours away, and I don't know what it is, you notice they do this deliberately, bro. Remember, like, Tom Brady didn't talk forever?
Oh, I know.
And then right before the Super Bowl, he did that stupid commercial or the picture he posted where he was in the tunnel. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I mean.
And then he says the whole time after, I knew I was leaving before the year even started. and then right before this, Gronk comes back. It's like they can't handle people not talking about him. And just so quickly, Gronk is back, Cam. I know you and I were already high on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
We were.
Although I was high on him with Jameis Winston. So now you bring in Brady. There's a ton of hype. Now you bring in Gronkowski as well. The number goes from 16-1 to 12-1 to win the Super Bowl. Big overreaction for a banged-up Gronkowski coming back.
Excellent point, Gabe. That's the thing. 12-1. I'm seeing people with tickets at 60, 66-1 before all this stuff happened. Hey, I was wrong. I thought Gronk, you know, would be at Keggers doing his wrestling thing. He's a champion right now. I thought he'd take some time off, you know, party a little bit, and maybe after this season with all the uncertainty in the world, talk to TB and come back. I was wrong. Like, I didn't know he was going to do it this early. I thought he was going to be focused more on wrestling and other things in his life. He's on The Masked Singer. But, hey, you can't have enough. And you said it. These guys just love the media. They love the spotlight. They can't get away from it. And, yeah, that story came pretty quick, Gabe, but I'm with you. This feels like a Cleveland Browns scenario that we were talking about. Ooh, the Browns. Look at them. They're going to win the division and all this stuff. Tampa Bay's the hype machine right now. And if it goes a little bit too high, I hate to say it. I'm a fan. Also, Tom Brady's older, new team, new player to deal with. Gronk, this guy, one hit, he could be done. So Tampa Bay, like, people are talking, ooh, 12-1? That's not a good price for that team.
No, it is. I'm curious to see what they do coming out of the draft tonight. Offensive line is a problem for them.
Yes.
But that's one thing that Rob Gronkowski brings to the table for them. Rob Gronkowski is a very good blocking tight end. He's committed to blocking. He's a good tight end. And that's the whole thing with O.J. Howard doesn't really block. A lot of these modern tight ends, the more hybrid wide receiver type. So, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers select 14th overall. So let's get right down to business, man, because like everybody, we're on the clock right now. The Cincinnati Bengals are on the clock, and hopefully there's no technical glitches for the Bengals. We're going to see.
My kids are on Wi-Fi. Uh-oh. Turn off the video games. Kids, we're drafting.
I told you to turn off the damn Xbox.
Exactly. I would love to see something like that tonight, but your idea was the best, like, Gabe. And I thought about it more. Like, this is a great way with the chaos in the world for Goodell to change his opinion. You're right. I'd like his family, like, you say, boo, you suck, commissioner. Get on. Like, just have, like,
oh, razzing him before.
I'll bet you he won't.
He doesn't. I got to believe that somebody brought it up, maybe, and he's like, ha, that's funny.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he like, writes down, fire this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Mr. Burns, trap door. Yeah, exactly, man.
That's a good idea, Bill. That's a good idea, right?
Yeah.
No Bill, promotion Bill or pay raise for Bill.
Gone. Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's real funny. You want me to boo myself, huh? It would be funny, though.
Yeah.
It would lighten the mood. America needs a laugh right now.
Excellent point.
You know what I mean? It's like, all right, America
enough
needs
is
a laugh.
Enough.
Just say, hi, I'm Roger Goodell with the first pick. Boo! And just have his wife boo. You know what I mean? Get your neighbor to come over. Boo, boo. Everybody will howl. And so, Goodell's not that bad of a guy. That's all it takes.
Yep.
You do one joke, you cut one check in today's society. Hey, you're a good guy. So let's get into the numbers right now. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals. The whole thing, you know, I brought this up actually, Cam. I laid the same number, 50-1, for Ionescu to be the first pick taken in a WNBA draft.
That chick's good, man.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's
awesome. And good, you know, it's good for the New York Liberty. Like, they're going to win a championship with this girl in a couple years.
She is committed.
She's like Jordan, Kobe, and LeBron in one. Like,
exactly.
She worked out with Kobe all the time. Like, she was tight with Kobe, actually. Like, Kobe took her under his wing. But nevertheless, so I laid 50-1. So people are asking me, Morency, would you lay the 50-1 on Joe Burrow being the number one pick? And the answer is no. The reason I laid the 50-1 on the WNBA draft is because there was absolutely positively nothing going on in the world. There was nothing. It was a Friday night. There was nothing going on. And it was one of those deals where I was like, I know she's going to be the number one pick.
She's a stone cold block. Exactly.
Yeah, and I only put $100 on it to win $2. Coca-Cola.
Yeah, he got a Twix bar.
Yeah, I got a Twix bar. And not even the big size.
No, you got regular. Yeah, the small one. You didn't get the four sticks. You got two.
Yeah, exactly. It's two sticks. I like Twix, but too small.
I agree. All packs should be four, not even three. It's four. But anyway, you're right, Gabe.
Like Kit Kat should be five, Twix should be three, but that's another story.
You're right.
There was nothing going on. It was a lark. I put $100 on it. Ha ha. I fell asleep. I didn't even see the draft. I fell asleep. I woke up and I made my $2.12. Okay. But the difference is there's a lot of bets that I want to make here. I've got probably a dozen, if not more, that I'm looking at that I want to pull the trigger on here that we have pulled the trigger on, and even more that'll come, as you stated. So I don't need to waste $100 to make $2 right now. And guys, if you're tuning in right now, I never do that. We're in the middle of a pandemic and there was nothing going on and I was bored on a Friday night. And I figured, why not make $2? I'm going to the store anyways to buy a Coke.
Yeah, you're right. I usually don't bet on horse sprint races that last 9 seconds, but hey, we got to do what we got to do in today's times. But Gabe, here's the thing about Burrow, why that's a bad bet. If you got him at 12 to 1 earlier when this thing was like a millennium ago, great on you. You can actually use that for parlays. But this, say some team does something crazy. Say they go Bengals, we'll give you a three first, this, that, and the, like, say they give them an offer that they can't refuse. It's very, very, very unlikely, but like.
But he would still be the first selected pick overall. Let's say the Dolphins got Goofy. That was the one thing that's been out.
Yeah.
That the Dolphins are like, they're the guy they really like is Joe Burrow. But it's like, well, are you going to give up? Are you going to give up your 5, your 18, and your, what is it, your 26? And I don't even think, I don't even know the Bengals would do it. Like, there, the Bengals have already, like, basically put them on the cover, Cat.
Yeah,
like,
they have.
You know what I mean? Like,
I know.
There's no turning back. So it's 50 to 1. It's not worth betting. As I stated, if they're in the middle of a crisis here and there's nothing to bet on a Friday night, whatever. Knock yourself out. Think about it, guys. Let's say you put $1,000 down on this. You're only getting $20 back.
Yeah, that seems like even for a sure thing, I don't want to be in that position.
Dinner for two at McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
At McDonald's. All right. So, but Joe Burrow will go first overall. But yeah, you can't bet it at 50 to 1. All right. Chase Young. So let's do our mock. We'll go back and forth here, Cam. There's not much to talk about here. Joe Burrow, Cincinnati Bengals, right?
Yeah, we got that. Same. All right. Exactly the same.
Okay, so we should say, too, the bets aren't what teams that they go to. It's what position they get drafted. Chase Young, number two. I think the Redskins aren't going to trade the pick. I think the Redskins are going to take Chase Young. It's now 16 to 1. Ugh. 16. So you got to lay $16 to win a dollar to get a Coke.
Exactly. We're going to the convenience store.
Well, put it, so 30, how much is a milkshake at McDonald's? Probably about $3, right?
Two McFlurries for 5 if you get the coupons.
Yeah. So in other words, you got to bet $39 to get a milkshake. Yes. It's not worth it. I'd rather put my money elsewhere.
No, I agree with you, but our first two picks are the same. We both have Burrow. I don't think the Redskins are going to get cute. There could be a trade. That's why it's always dangerous with these bets. If you can offer these teams crazy packages, but Young seems to be a lock to the Redskins, Gabe. I agree. This is where things change for me at number 3, but I'm doing some pretty wild things. You are too. I looked at your mock. Looks good.
All right. So the Chargers go third. I'm going to say the Chargers go third.
Oh, okay. Oh,
after
boy.
Trading up. Whew. After trading up from the 6th spot with the Detroit Lions, as the Chargers will be the ones that won't wait on Tua. The Chargers will be the ones to know that the Dolphins would probably take him or somebody else would maneuver up and pull the trigger on this deal. I don't think that the dealing begins with the Redskins. I think it begins with the Lions. The Lions have needs. The Lions can drop back and get a couple of players out of this. And now listen, there's a small outside shot that the Lions take Tua. I don't think it happens.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to happen, but there's always that possibility. So I will be betting. Now this is a bet that we'll make. I will be betting Tua goes in the top 3.5. It's a sprinkle. It's plus 240. It's plus 250.
Yeah.
So it's a sprinkle, but I think that's going to be the trade that shakes things up. The Chargers are at 6. We spoke to Gil Manzano from the Orange County Register yesterday, and there's a lot of clues and a lot of hints that the Chargers, that Tua is the guy that they actually like. Wisenhunt has worked out with them before in quarterback camps. They haven't addressed the left side of the offensive line. They're almost leaving the ends open because the thing is, Tua is left-handed. Right. So suddenly it changes. You need your best guy on, you know, suddenly on the other side than he was before. And Gil was talking on yesterday's program about how they've sort of left the ends open right now. And there's a lot of, from what he's hearing, Tua is the guy they like. It's not Herbert. You know, we could be wrong, right? And listen, I'm just here to throw it out here and have some fun with this. But I think there are going to be trades. Somebody's going to trade up. I've been bigging up. You've been bigging up. We've been bigging up Tua this whole time.
Yeah.
I'm going to back that up. I do believe that someone's trading up to get Tua, and I think it's going to be the Chargers. The Chargers are going, they're in Los Angeles, they're going into a new stadium. They need to sell tickets. They need to, and not just sell tickets, but sell jerseys and compete. Like, you know, sell tickets, and there might not be fans, but they need to compete in Los Angeles. Two on a billboard looks a lot better than Justin Herbert on a billboard in a new Chargers uniform. Like, yeah. You can sell Tua. And yep. Quite frankly, Tua is a hell of a lot better than Justin Herbert is. And I think if anything, if there's that one thing when everybody's surprised in this draft, Herbert might fall.
He could.
I think he's the one that could fall. Now, the Dolphins seem to really want to get a quarterback here. Yeah, so I'm all over the place on this. I think Herbert could go, but I've got the Chargers trading up and taking Tua with the third pick, Cam, and I'm betting Tua to go in the top 3.5 at plus 240.
I am too, but we're going in a different direction. I cannot discount my dream of him holding up a Lions jersey, and I think Tua will be drafted by the Detroit Lions, but they might trade him and hold another team hostage.
Got to go talking to scouts. Sources, talking to general managers, hacking into computers. Cam had a dream.
Yes.
Like Martin Luther King. He had a dream. And you know what? Maybe your dream comes true, as you stated. You're not a Lion fan, but your dream was that Tua is a Detroit Lion.
Actually, next to the Seahawks, like, I have no, like, I like the Lions a lot. Like, that.
What if Tua puts a Lion hat on and they're like, ooh, and then boom, they trade him.
That's exactly what could happen. I almost want to bet that. Will the Lions trade him after drafting him? Should be an interesting prop. And they could, Gabe. There's a lot of teams that want him. Teams might want to put together a super package afterward. Just because he's drafted by them, this could happen with Washington, too. That's why I think it's interesting. The Washington Redskins and Detroit Lions would love to hold a team hostage with Tua drafting him and see where the chips fall. But I love your pick, what you're doing with the Chargers. I have things a little bit later. But Tua to the Lions at 3. I agree with you on the sprinkle bet at plus 250, Tua under 3.5. He goes to Detroit. I don't know if he gets traded after that, but he will be drafted by the Lions. That's my crazy prediction. Came in a dream.
You know, part of me has Herbert going to the Dolphins after the fact. I can see them liking Herbert. From what I understand, they do like him. But with that being stated, I can also see him falling a little bit, but Herbert's an interesting guy. I mean, he really is an NFL talent. I just think he's being bigged up a little bit too much right now coming into this draft right now. But it doesn't mean that the Miami Dolphins won't pull the trigger on him. All right, so you've got the Lions going with Tua at 3. We're thinking outside the box.
We are
here. Although now we're going to get right inside the box with the New York Football Giants. And word on the street is, and Gettleman always thinks outside the box. And one thing with Gettleman, he's a good evaluator of talent. You don't want him doing contracts and trades and stuff. But if you look at his track record, he's pretty good at identifying players. You know, I think the Giants really do want to move down.
I agree.
They do want to move down. But I think they're going to miss out on that because I think the Lions, it's more attractive at 3. You can control things at 3. You know what I mean? 4, you're starting to lose control of things a little bit because everybody in the league knows, okay, Joe Burrow 1, Chase Young 2. Boom, we've got to get to Detroit. That's like the thing I'm looking at. I think Detroit's phone's going to ring more than the Giants' phone is going to ring. But, you know, it's all hypothetical. But with that being stated, I think the Giants do stay in the land of predictability and they end up going with Tristan Wirfs. I'm not getting off of this, Cam. I don't want to outthink myself. I'm sticking to my guns with Wirfs with the under 8.5, but I think the Giants go with Tristan Wirfs out of Iowa.
We have the exact same pick. I was thinking, it's funny, a lot of these new mocks have them flipping spots. They have Wills instead of Wirfs, but me and you have said Wirfs to the Giants since the get-go. I'm with you. We're going to do some different things, but it doesn't change there. They need to solidify that line, keep Danny Dimes, your boy Gabe, upright. He can't be...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's cut the small talk right here on SB Nation Radio. I am Gabriel Marenzi with Throwing It Down, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, and we're on the freaking clock right now as the National Football League draft is rapidly approaching. Me and Cam are running through our top 10 picks, and we'll run through our top 10 bets, if not more than 10 bets when it's all said and done. We're going to go rapid fire. And don't forget, we've got Tony Pauline, Pro Football Network, is going to join us. We've got Mark Lawrence. Try to get some different opinions. Doesn't mean the views and opinions of our guests represent me or Cam's. It doesn't mean my opinion represents Cam's. But Cam, we both agree, I think, just to recap, Tristan Wirfs, under 8.5. Tristan Wirfs goes to the New York Giants, fourth overall. We keep it predictable inside the box with Dave Gettleman this time.
No, I agree with you. A lot of people are talking Wills, Gabe. Like, a lot of the latest updated ones, they have Wills and Wirfs switching. I disagree
with that. I'm not buying it.
No, I'm not buying it either. We're sticking pat since we've been doing the NFL draft breakdowns. We both love Wirfs to the Giants at 4. I'm staying pat. But my next move, Gabe, is a little bit of a tricky one.
You know what? This next move, I'm on the clock. And so if you're just joining us right now, I've got the Chargers trading up for Tua, which I might be the only one in the world that's trading up for Tua since Tua sucks and he's brittle.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't hear Tua's in a wheelchair now, Ken. He's like Stephen Hawking. Yeah, he's got like a voice box. He can't do anything.
I'll defer to Nick Saban. When you pass up on this kid, you will regret it. Put that in there. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, people. Tua's going to be amazing.
You and I are going to look good in this anyways, because either he goes high like you and I think, or he doesn't, and he turns out to be a star, and you and I can say for years, we told you so.
Yeah.
So either way, we're going to look good, but I'd rather win the money and look good.
I agree.
Like Krusty the Clown said. Krusty lost his show. Bart told him, don't worry about it, Krusty, you're still famous. He said, what good is fame if you don't have the moolah to back it up?
Exactly.
He goes, I drank a Coke on the bus the other day, and they took my pass away. So I'm going to shake it up now that we're on the clock here. While everybody is saying that Tua tanks, I say that Herbert is the one. I say that Herbert is the one that surprisingly is the one that is sitting there on TV waiting to be drafted. And the Dolphins shock everybody and don't take a quarterback there, Cam.
Yeah, I like where you're going, Gabe. And we're at pick number 5, which is Miami. I have a trade. First, I have Tua.
This throws my mock draft like right out the window. It's like the real world, though. It's like, oh boy, we're on the clock.
Don't worry about it. We agree on one thing.
Justin Herbert's not a franchise quarterback to save your team for the Miami Dolphins.
I'm going to tell you that the Chargers flip spots with Miami. They get a second rounder in this draft. I sent you the email. First and a fourth next year for one pick, and they take Herbert. West Coast kid staying on the West Coast. That's 3 quarterbacks in the top 5. And that's what I have. They just flip spots. Chargers take over Miami spot. Miami gets stockpiled picks, goes one down, and that's what I have.
That's one of the things that people talk about drafts that piss me off the most, actually. One of my biggest peeves about players in a draft is when people talk about the regional aspect of it.
Yeah, you're right. But
of which, hear me out, that when people talk like, about, well, you know, oh, he's a West Coast, so we play in the West Coast. All right, like, You know who didn't grow up in the snow and is one of the best cold weather quarterbacks ever? Brett Favre.
I agree.
Brett Favre grew up in Mississippi.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
He grew up in the woods in Mississippi.
Good call.
Brett Favre didn't grow up in the frigid Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers. Although Aaron Rodgers always loses in the playoffs in the cold.
Yes, he does. Yes, yes, he does.
My point is, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers. Some people think he's better than Brady and the greatest quarterback and all this type of stuff. Well, the dude's from California, bro. And he doesn't exactly live in Green Bay in the offseason. He's like a Cali guy. He goes back to California. Yep. He's a California dude. Ooh, Josh Allen, perfect fit for Buffalo, played at Wyoming. Josh Allen's from the same town Aaron Rodgers is from. Oh, yeah. Let me think of another guy. Let me think of another guy that, you know, won a hell of a lot of games in the snow, Cam. Tom Brady?
Yeah, Tom Brady. The Raiders game in the snow.
Yeah, even though Tom Brady's from San Mateo.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. California. Tom Brady never saw snow before. He went to Michigan. He played at Michigan. And then after, cold weather quarterback. So all this stuff about, well, and I get there's something to it. Because I remember Jim Kelly, me being a Buffalo Bill fan, I remember Jim Kelly complained about this.
You're damn right he did.
Because if you remember, like, J.P. Lossman, Trent Edwards, Rob Johnson, you go down the list of all these quarterbacks that the Buffalo Bills had, and he said nothing against these guys, but he said, when you're the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills, you need to be a bigger guy that can throw the ball through the rigid winds of the stadium.
Weird. Yeah, crazy.
And listen, weather has changed a little bit with weather patterns we see in a crazy world that we're in. But my point is, he was sort of onto something, but it's not where you're from. It's you need a strong arm.
Yes,
you do. Josh Allen can thrive in Buffalo because he's got a strong arm. Doesn't matter if he's from California, Florida. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter where you're from, Cam, per se. This is my opinion. I there's a couple of things in sports that get me. That's one of them. The other one is the comparison in basketball all the time to, like,
LeBron and Jordan. I hate that stuff.
Well, that stuff, but no, like a white guy has always got to be compared to another white guy.
Yeah.
His game can be like a million brothers, but it's always going to compare to another white guy. But listen, it's unpredictable. It's one of the more unpredictable drafts, especially when it comes to the quarterback position. But I'm not so sure the Dolphins are as crazy about Justin Herbert as people think.
Well, I understand.
It's tricky. I don't have a strong bet on or against Justin Herbert, though. And this is what this show's about, is giving you the bet. I don't have a strong bet one way or the other on Herbert. I just wouldn't be surprised if Herbert's the one that falls. And I'm inclined to sprinkle on Herbert over 5.5 a little bit to put my money where my mouth is that he does fall.
Yeah, it's interesting, Gabe. I don't have, like, a big trade there. It's almost the teams back-to-back, and I agree with you. I don't think the Dolphins are going to get their quarterback early. I think they're going to try to make a trade for Love, Eason, maybe find somebody down the line there.
I could see that as well.
I could see that happen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Dolphins could take Jordan Love with the 26th pick.
Yes. So that's why, but the Chargers, to me, I think after I have Tua, remember, things can change, but I have Tua being drafted by Detroit at 3. We have Wirfs at 4. I have the Chargers moving into Miami spot. They take Herbert, and the Dolphins get to stockpile some picks and get their quarterback later. So Herbert to the Dolphins at 5.
Herbert to the Dolphins at 5, says Cam. So you're going under. Are you going to bet it? Or this is just sort of your
No.
You're not. That's the thing.
This is my fun. I actually have a weird thing, too. I think Atlanta's going to do something absolutely insane to get a quarterback.
The thing is, Miami have quarterbacks.
Do they?
Yes.
They do.
They have Ryan Fitzpatrick under contract.
He's whatever. Yeah. Who All else? Right. They got Rosen. Yeah.
Josh Rosen.
Yeah. He hasn't done. They threw him in there.
And then they got my boy Jake Rudock. I don't know. Is Justin Herbert better than Ryan Fitzpatrick? No.
Not now, but he will be, I think.
I don't think he will be.
You think Ryan Fitzpatrick will have a better NFL career than Justin Herbert?
Yes.
That's a bold statement. Okay. I'll hold you to that one.
Well, I'm not here to sit on a fence here, Cam.
No, we were right. Hey,
there's barbed wire in my neighborhood. I don't sit on fences.
Exactly.
I cut my ass if I did.
I told Puccio, we were all over Lamar Jackson in that draft last year, too. But I'm saying, I think the Chargers.
Yes. I'll put my money where my mouth is on this. And it's bold because no one's bashed Fitzpatrick more than I have.
Yep.
over the years, especially me being a Buffalo Bill fan. But yep. I'll tell you right now, yes, I do not believe. And in fact, I'll bet you if you want, we'll bet. This will be like our Pittsburgh Pirates Toronto Maple Leaf bet. Who wins the championship first? We'll have to wait 10 years for a payoff.
Got another.
And in fact, I'll guarantee it. I'll tell you right now, Justin Herbert is not throwing 210 touchdown passes in his career. Justin Herbert will not throw for 32,000 yards in his career.
He'll throw less interceptions. He'll have a better completion percentage.
Justin Herbert won't last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 years in the National Football League.
That's what we got to give Fitzy. And he's got longevity. I'll give him that.
So, and I bet you Fitz is going to make more money in the end.
Oh, yeah. Well, for that many years, probably. Yeah, let me think about
that. Now you're losing this case. If you're on the jury, you're like, maybe this bald lawyer's right.
Yeah, you bring up some good data to the table. I wasn't sure I was going to convict.
Where's Puccio? Puccio normally chirps in. So where you at, Puccio?
Yeah, he's
Ryan Fitzpatrick. Justin Herbert will not have them as successful of a career as Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I don't even like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. He'll throw more interceptions because he's been in the league longer. The touchdowns, how many touchdowns has Fitzpatrick got? A lot.
210.
A lot.
He's thrown 161 interceptions. Puccio says Fitz is dead to him. That's the thing. When you're Fitzpatrick, you've been on every damn team in the league. So, fans in every city hate you.
Exactly. But,
one thing, too, the strength with Fitzpatrick is the weakness with Fitzpatrick is he just doesn't care.
That's right.
He literally does not care. He's not fazed by throwing an interception or a touchdown, but it seems like to not bother him enough. And there's just too many turnovers. Listen, I'm not discounting the turnovers here. Fitz has also rushed for 19 career touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know. Herbert, 19, Tudney, I think he can get more. Anyway, hey, who knows? We'll talk about this. I got to think about this one, but I'm willing to put some money on the table. But Fitz's longevity makes it a bad bet for me because he does well in categories just because he's still lingering.
Fitz's starting record, though, in the NFL.
Yeah, winning percentage and interceptions, I think Herbert's a lock for. But
he's 55, 83, and 1.
Ooh, yeah, that's about right.
That sounds like good old Fitz.
Yeah.
Okay, so so I've got the Detroit Lions, and I don't even know what the hell the Dolphins are going to do. I got to shake things up. I'm going to say the Dolphins take Derek Brown.
Oh, I like that pick. I have him going a little bit later, but I think he's definitely a top 10 pick, Gabe. So, yeah, no, I have no problem with that. You need to build on the Lions. The Dolphins, they have a lot of problems everywhere, so why don't you get a DT that can hurt people? I agree 100%.
So as far as Brown's prop is 7.5 right now.
It'll be tight.
We're just sort of, giving our mocks. We'll get in the next thing. We'll get into me and Cam a little bit later on. We'll get into our best bets. I don't know if I'm saying Derek Brown is a best bet at under 7.5, but it wouldn't shock me if he went 6.
I agree with that.
And like I said, because I've got the Chargers moving up. So the Detroit Lions would have been the one to take Derek Brown, but the Dolphins could take him as well. I don't have a real strong best bet on that. The Isaiah Simmons to the Panthers, you were on this a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
That seems to make a lot of sense right there.
We both have that, do we not?
Yeah. Isaiah Simmons to the Panthers makes a lot of sense.
So who's your 6th pick then? Because I have Herbert at 5. Who do you have going at 6? I have going at 6. They reverse. I have Akuda dropping from 3 that people projected with Detroit all the way to 6 with Miami after their trade with the Chargers.
The problem is, they pick up Akuda. My entire draft is thrown out of loop because I just did a last second trade. Or I threw a loop.
Yeah, I got 2 trades. That's the thing, man. What's going to happen? This is the problem betting the draft. One guy who does something crazy, you've seen dominoes. We could be sitting there going, yay, great for us, or uh-oh, we're screwed.
Uh-oh, spaghetti-o.
But, yeah, it's very, very difficult, man.
The thing is, what about is Wills going, or is it going to be Andrew Thomas? Is Andrew Thomas climbing aboard right now?
He is climbing the board, but I'm not buying it. Like Wirfs staying with the Giants, I have Thomas, but I have him going.
All right, so how about this? How about this, Cam? Since we're all about boldness here, Here's a pick and a player that I think is going to go a lot higher than what the number is for him. And we've talked a bit about this kid, the Chaisson kid out of LSU.
Great character, too.
Special pass rusher.
Good kid.
Fast as hell. You know, like flies to the ball. You know, good kid. Hasn't played a lot of football in his life either. That's the key with this kid. We talked about him. Remember I said he showed up at a camp and he wasn't even there. He went with his buddy. And he said, I want get on the field.
That's a good thing. Trainable. He'll listen.
Exactly. Well, the thing is, it means there's a ton of upside, mm-hmm. right? Some of these kids have already been coached up so much that they've already reached their peak. This kid hasn't reached his peak yet. You know what I mean? So I think a team that, even though it's always a circus and they have a hard time getting along with their players once they have their players, but they're pretty good at finding these psycho diamond in the rough defensive guys. Like look at Josh Allen and not the Bills Josh Allen. The other Josh Allen, but the Jacksonville Jaguars. We've had a lot of talk about the Jags and really wondering about this team. Because, I got Simmons going to the Panthers. I think Wills is drafted. I think Wills goes to the Cardinals at 8.
So do I. We have the same 7-8 combo.
Yeah. Chaisson.
Good. Wow. 9 to the Jags?
And he's at 16.5. So I'm going 7 picks under what the mainstream is saying here. Yes, sir. That's my first Scotty Farrell. Let's shake it up. We're shaking it up. We're shaking it up there at the Jags. And don't forget, the Jags also have the 20th pick in the draft. So
where do you have Okuda going?
I have Okuda falling.
Out of the top 10?
I have him ending up, and I don't like this because the team pisses me off with all the talent that they have. The Cleveland Browns. He falls right into their hands at 10.
And that's interesting.
The local guy, local stud DB guy, falls right into their hands.
That's an interesting pick. So we're the same. We have Simmons at 7 to Carolina. We both have Wills at 8 to Arizona. I have Derek Brown to Jacksonville at 9. And I have the Thomas and Thomas connection in Cleveland. Joe Thomas, one of their best. And I have Thomas, a lot of guys bigging them up, to Cleveland.
Yeah, I want to get into the Andrew Thomas prop a little bit and get the updated numbers. We're all on the clock right now as far as the National Football League draft is concerned. Tony Pauline will step up and in. We'll get another perspective on all these players besides me and Cam. Then me and Cam will come back. We'll lay down our best bets for the National Football League draft. Mark Lawrence.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Game Time Decisions continues. Get on the grid, SB Nation, radio, the loudest station in the nation. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, the countdown to the draft is on. We promised Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com. Let's talk about the National Football League draft. Tony, thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thank you for having me.
All right. So do you agree or disagree with this? You've been breaking down and covering drafts for a long time. This is a tricky draft to predict, especially when, you know, it's so top-heavy, this draft. And to me, there's not a lot of difference between the caliber of football players, right? There's just, it's hard to predict. Teams can go in a lot of different directions. In past years, it was sort of predictable. This guy by far is the best player at this position. This year, when you look and you hear the debates, yeah, a lot of people like Wirfs. A lot of people think Wills is going to be the first overall pick, according to the sports books. It's going back and forth. Who's going to be the first wide receiver taken? CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy. There's a big debate going on there. There's a lot of debates. It's a very deep wide receiver class. It's a fun draft. It's a tricky draft, though, in my opinion, Tony.
Well, I think there are two outside elements that kind of play into that. I think the top 15 players are kind of set. Where they go, we don't know. Obviously, Tua's injury is a big factor. You know, is Tua's injury going to scare away the Miami Dolphins? Excuse me. We've heard for 2 years now that the Miami Dolphins were going to tank for Tua. They're very likely to be looking at Tua with the fifth pick of the draft, but because of the injury, they may be scared away. And that is because of the whole coronavirus situation, which teams were not able to get last-minute exams in on Tua. And, you know, just the whole setup of the war rooms where you've got general managers that are creatures of habit and are used to having 30, 40 people around them, having the coaching staff there, having their director of personnel, player personnel there, director of scouting there, and their left and right-hand side to feed them information. Not going to be like that during the seven rounds of the draft. So it could lead to some surprises.
All right. So I'm looking at your mock draft, Tony Pauline's final 2020 NFL mock draft at ProFootballNetwork.com. And there's no surprises at the top here. All right. Joe Burrow, number one. Chase Young, number two. Jeff Okuda, number three. Now, I personally think the Lions are going to trade the pick, and that's where craziness will happen. But, you know, Jeff Okuda, okay. Tristan Wirfs, number four. I love that pick. Going to the New York Giants. Boom. Here's where you're thinking outside the box. You've got Andrew Thomas as the second offensive lineman taken in this draft. A lot of people have him going, you know, the 14, maybe to Tampa Bay, or maybe to Cleveland at 10. You like Andrew Thomas a little higher than everybody else.
Couple things, you know. In order for Detroit to trade down, someone is going to want to have to trade up. So what are they going to trade up for? I mean, the quarterbacks, whether it be Tua, whether it be Justin Herbert, have kind of been, you know, marked down a little bit. Tua because of the injury, Justin Herbert because of the fact that, well, he's a physical specimen. He doesn't always play up to his level of ability. So
I think Tua, in my personal opinion, Tony, I think Tua is more well-liked by general managers than they're letting on. That's where I think the deal happens. I think someone's going to jump up for Tua. I know you think, well, you know, we're going to get to Tua where you think he's going to go a little bit later on, but I don't think that he lasts. It only takes one, dude, as you know, right? It takes one general manager to like him.
General managers could love Tua, but if the medical staffs of the teams are saying, you know, you got to be careful.
He's not in a wheelchair. It's not like the guys.
He's had ankle injuries. He's had knee injuries. And the owner's there. You know, are you going to draft a guy like that with the third pick and pay him the millions upon millions of dollars? Listen, Tua is my number one rated quarterback in the draft. I think he's the best passer in the draft. He's got a better overall body of work than Joe Burrow. But the fact of the matter is, you can't help a team if you're on the sidelines mending injuries. I do agree that there's going to be some point in time where the reward is going to outweigh the risk of Tua, but you got to look at the situation. The guy's had a lot of injuries. He's had some major injuries. And while he was medically checked and examined at the combine, there was no combine recheck, which a lot of teams rely on to get updates on the guys. There was no top 30 visits. So, I mean, it remains to be seen, but everyone I've spoken to inside the league or in the league tell me that they think Tua is going to slip. As far as Andrew Thomas is concerned, you know, it depends on who you speak with. I reported at the combine that a lot of teams had Andrew Thomas and Tristan Wirfs as their number one and number two tackles. Andrew Thomas is the best pure left tackle in this year's draft, and left tackles are always a priority on draft day. He's a guy who may be able to play the right side, but you can't play him at the left side. Tristan Wirfs is a question mark at left tackle. Jedrick Wills can't play left tackle. Neither can Mekhi Becton in the NFL anyway. So there's always a high priority on Andrew Thomas, which is why I grade him so highly.
You know, it's interesting. I like Thomas a lot, too, and I think he's going to go higher than what the odds makers think. So I'll put it this way, Tony, and I am like Pete Rose. I am a betting man here in New Jersey at FanDuel. So you're liking there's a prop out there. Will Tua be in the top 3.5, over under 3.5 picks? So you're saying hell no.
I don't see any team trading up for him. I mean, the great quarterback, fragile body, and you don't know. And listen, look at the history of Alabama players. They're a team that plays 15 games a year. They're a team that is physically tested on the college level. And we've seen time and time again, name after name, where guys come into the league and they're just, they get the crud beat out of them. And they never are able to live up to expectations in the NFL because their bodies are so beaten up by the time they get to the NFL.
You know, I think that's a great point that you're raising. You know, that was a premonition that I had about Leonard Fournette, actually. Leonard Fournette was kind of beat up. And it's a good point that you raised, Tony. The SEC is such a physical conference. It's like NFL light, so to speak. And as you stated, Alabama are playing a lot of football games. As well. Also, I think Alabama, some players from LSU in the past, they go through that grind of playing for Saban for a bunch of years. It's almost like that was like a boot camp, like prison to them. And, you know, Leonard Fournette said, oh, the NFL's easy compared to LSU. This is easy. It's like, well, you're not exactly killing the NFL, bro, right? But you think it's easy, just comparable. And they sort of take the pedal off the metal. I can see that take a little bit. But I do disagree with Tua. I like him. And I thought it was interesting. Saban said it's very similar to Drew Brees when people were worried about Drew Brees' injuries. But let's keep it rolling here. Chargers. You know, so the Chargers, this is their guy, Justin Herbert. You believe it?
I think so. I mean, I've talked to a lot of people. I've got my concerns about Justin Herbert's personality. I think he's only going to be good in a number of cities. I question whether he would be good for the Chargers. But people pointed out, you know what? The Chargers don't have a huge fan base. It's not really Los Angeles. It's Orange County. And Herbert will be able to stay on the West Coast. So everything checks off. You can make the argument that Justin Herbert is the best and most complete physical package at the quarterback position in this year's draft. When you look at his size, his arm strength, his athleticism, his poise, his ability to make plays in or out of the pocket with his feet or his legs. The problem with Justin Herbert is, really, since his sophomore season, he's failed to live up to expectations. He was a highly rated quarterback. He doesn't show the ability to carry his offense on his shoulders, which you expect a quarterback like Justin Herbert to do on the college level. He was the type of guy that needed all the pieces around him on the college level to work in order for Oregon to win games, whether it be the running game, defense, special teams. And again, that happens on Sunday. But when a guy is so much more physically gifted than everybody else on the college level, he should be able to do that. He's never been able to move the chains or move the team in a big spot. You look at that Auburn game at the start of the 2019 season. They needed one or two more first downs to seal the game. Couldn't get it done. Auburn came back, won the game. So while you can't question the physical skills of Justin Herbert like you can't with Tua Tagovailoa, I think with Justin Herbert, it's a question of, is he the type of leader? Is he the type of person you want leading your team under center on a week-in, week-out basis in the NFL?
Tony Pauline, ProFootballNetwork.com with us. This next pick we do agree with as far as Isaiah Simmons is concerned. Seems like a good fit with Matt Rhule, doesn't it? Matt Rhule, defensive guy. You can get a versatile defender such as Simmons. What's your take? Some people rave. I've read some people, some scouts say that, you know, Simmons is the complete perfect package and he should be going higher than he is. And then others are like, well, he's a jack of all trades, yet what's he going to excel at in the National Football League? Where do you stand on him?
Heavily with the latter. I think he's got great upside potential. He obviously is a sensational athlete. But I don't think he's a plug-and-play type of defender. I don't think you can just put him in any system. I think it's a situation where you're going to need a creative defensive coordinator that is going to basically build a system around him and move him around and let him do what he does so well. You know, you're in New Jersey. I'm in New York. I think a defensive coordinator like Greg Williams would work miracles with a guy like Isaiah Simmons because he's able to plug and play players, or I should say build the system around his players to get the maximum out of them.
But isn't this the way the league going, Tony? Sorry to jump in here, but I was going to throw it to you here. Sort of these hybrid players, because what, he's about 240 pounds, right? He's not that definition, 238, 240, whatever, you know, maybe 245. Not the definition of that stocky linebacker type, but aren't we getting into more of a hybrid league right now on both sides of the football?
Well, two things. Number one, he weighed into the combine at 238 pounds. That doesn't mean that's his playing weight, because as we saw with guys like Zach Braun, what these guys were doing was they were pumping up on water to get be heavier when they got on the scale.
And so you lose weight as you're playing through the season, right?
Exactly. I think his playing weight is probably more in the 220s. Now, the fact is this is, you know, I don't know if you want to say hybrid players or smaller linebackers who can run to the ball quickly, the Devin Whites of the world, those types of players that are early selections. I got no problem with his athleticism. I think he's very explosive. But those guys, Devin Whites and the kid from Georgia that the Chicago Bears took so early about 4 years ago, those guys were terrific linebackers with great instincts. I, when you watch Isaiah Simmons, and I've watched him for 3 years, I was a big fan of his when he was a redshirt freshman and played safety. Makes a lot of plays based with his sheer athleticism and is able to beat players on the college level because of that. The instincts are kind of questionable, which concern me.
All right, so, you know, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and it's great talking football with you. There's always going to be a player. I think Shaysaad's going to go a little higher than the odds makers have him. They've got him at 16.5. So there's a number 13.5 for Kinlaw right now. And you've got him going to the Jacksonville Jaguars. An interesting team, the Jags. They need a lot of help. They've got a lot of picks. They can address some needs. Obviously, they've got a lot of defensive needs. You've got Kinlaw going a little bit higher than some people do, and there's a lot of bettors listening to the program. So tell us why you like this kid going under 13.5.
Well, I don't like him. I mean, if you read my intro to the mock draft, I said
that's
this
the thing
is
with
these
drafts, right? Yeah. It doesn't mean you like the pick, but exactly, you're picking what you think is going to happen.
And what I wrote about Kinlaw is, and I've been reporting this for the past week at Pro Football Network, is there are a lot of teams that are basically knocking Kinlaw down their draft board. There are concerns about him. My understanding is that one of those teams is not the Jacksonville Jaguars. They really like Kinlaw a lot. He fits a need, and that's why I have Kinlaw going number 9 to the Jacksonville Jaguars, primarily because the franchise themselves likes him, and he also fits the need. It is in the realm of possibility that the Jaguars kind of mix things up, take C.J. Henderson at 9, and then hope that Javon Kinlaw falls to them at number 20. I think that's a possibility as well.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. The Jags, everyone's talking about the Jags at 9, but they also have the 20th pick, so they can address a couple of needs here. All right, in our remaining moments here, let's talk about these wide receivers a little bit. It's been going back and forth, according to the odds makers, about which receiver was going to go first. You know, Jerry Jeudy was the front runner before, and me and Cam Stewart thought that there was some value on CeeDee Lamb being the first guy to get taken. Now CeeDee Lamb's the favorite to get taken first, and I don't know, man. It's like pick your poison Russian roulette with this, but I find it interesting. Do you think that this many general managers will be able to resist pulling the trigger on these wide receivers until San Francisco at 13?
Yeah, I do, because when you look at the receiver class, it's incredibly deep. But none of the receivers at the top, whether it be CeeDee Lamb, whether it be Jerry Jeudy, whether it be Henry Ruggs, are outstanding, can't-miss prospects. I mean, they're very good, but they're not, as far as I'm concerned, top 10 guys. Why are you going to draft a Jerry Jeudy in the top 10 when you can get a Brandon Ayuk or K.J. Hamler or Jalen Reagor at the top of round 2? And there's really not a huge difference between those two types of receivers. I've said it all along about this receiver class. It's quantity over quality. The guys at the top are good, but they're not great. It really gets very good late first round through the third, fourth round of the draft at the receiver position.
All right, so let's talk about the running backs. There's a lot of debate. Will there be a running back taken in the first round? And I kept scrolling and keep scrolling down the page, Tony, and there you have him. There's DeAndre Swift, number 32 at the back end. And running backs are sort of a luxury item, right, to take a running back this high. But when you're the Super Bowl champion, you can afford a luxury item like this. So you think he squeezes in the front door in the first round here?
Yeah, when you're the Super Bowl champions, you need a running back. You need consistency at running back, and it's a perfect fit. DeAndre, I have a solid first-round grade on DeAndre Swift. Whether DeAndre Swift ends up in the first round, as you basically alluded to, is probably about 50-50. He's a terrific player. I don't know that – I think that you've got to get past the fact, well, we can get running backs later on. When you get a guy like DeAndre Swift, who runs hard on the inside, has got the speed and agility to turn the perimeter, terrific pass catcher out of the backfield, he adds a lot to it through the offense. And I think Kansas City, not only the fact that they need a running back, but you got a coach there like Andy Reid, who's done a tremendous job just developing offensive players, quarterbacks, receivers. I think a guy like DeAndre Swift would be Andy Reid's dream. And it's a perfect fit as far as best player available, fits a need, and the coaching system. Because remember, you know, a lot of people look at the draft as the ending. The draft is just the beginning. You select these guys, it's names on a piece of paper. It's up to the coaching staff to develop them and really turn them into good NFL players.
All right, so we got about 10, 15 seconds here. J.K. Dobbins, over 2,000 yards rushing in the Big Ten. Is he underrated or overrated coming into this right now? The books have him at 44 and a half. What's your take quickly on Dobbins?
I have him going to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the second round. I believe that's pick 45 or 46, so I don't know what it is. I think he's going to be a great pro. He's the most complete back as far as a runner, pass catcher, as well as a blocker. And that type of guy is going to see a lot of playing time at the next level.
All right, Dobbins. I think Pittsburgh's coming in at 49, so it would be a little bit over. I like Dobbins as well. It's interesting. People aren't on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.